Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More with Francisco Fribronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
As a result of the rising global demand for renewable energies, 2018 is going to see the expansion of jobs in the renewable energy and efficiency sector. Qualified wind turbine technicians, solar installer, clear car engineers, sustainable builders, and sustainable professionals are among the positions that businesses look to fill. Industry is empowered by innovation and technology. The transition to a green economy needs to be fostered by creating the right conditions for markets to work, including tax incentives and subsidies, sound regulatory frameworks, investments in education, training, capacity building, availability of products, services, and international agreements. Politicians and decision makers play a major role in taking entire cities from the business-as-usual approach into the green pathway. The deployment of building cities for the future relies on government's ability to support the development of renewable energy technologies and shape the cities of the future to be more environmentally friendly and fossil fuel-free. Welcome to Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More weekly podcast. My name is Rossella Biaggi and I will be your host for today. In today's second show, we will talk about solar panels. Francisco, what is a solar panel?
I got an idea!
Solar panels are a technological tool that allows the absorption of sunlight as a source of energy. There are two types of solar panels. Photovoltaic panels generate electricity, and solar thermal collectors can heat homes or hot water. Today, I'll talk about photovoltaic panels.
Great! So how does a solar panel capture the sunlight and convert it into electricity?
First, we need to understand the anatomy of a solar cell. The solar panel is divided in five layers, like a sandwich, okay? We have the metal backing, two silicon layers, the anti-reflective coating, and the metal conductor strips. So the core of the solar panel are the two silicon layers. Think about a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. By the way, Rossella, have you ever tried a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
No, never, not even once.
You're missing out. Everybody loves peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll bring you some next week.
Sounds good to me.
Anyway, back to the solar panels. Silicon is a strong and stable building material for photovoltaic cells. But on its own, it's a poor electrical conductor. So manufacturers add different additives to each silicon layer to create an electric field. The top layer contains phosphorus, that's more electrons in the peanut butter, while the bottom layer, boron, contains fewer electrons, the jelly. Since the cell is manufactured, both layers exchange electrons constantly. Now, the sunlight contains photons. When the sunlight touches the panel, a constant friction of electrons takes place between both layers, in which the electric field pushes electrons to the phosphorus layer that is connected to the metal conductor strips that conduct the flow of electrons, the electricity that the cell produces, through wires into an inverter inside the house.
Okay, I understand, but I think we are missing the anti-reflecting coating and the metal backing.
The anti-reflecting coating, the slice of the bread facing the peanut butter, ensures that photons, the particles of sunlight needed to generate solar power, are absorbed by the silicon layers and are reflected away. And last, but not least, the metal backing is for the electrons that flow back out of the house and return to the cell to close the loop. So I was saying that the electricity that the cell produces flows through wires into an inverter. An inverter is a device that converts the direct current or DC electricity coming from the photovoltaic cell into the alternating current or AC we use at home.
Can you explain the concept once again so it will be clear for everybody?
Of course. The slice of bread at the bottom is the metal backing, which is needed to complete the transfer of electrons in and out of the house, to close the loop. Then we have the two silicon layers on top, the phosphorus, the peanut butter, and the boro, the jelly. One contains more electrons than the other. Once the sunlight, the photons, touch the panel, a constant reaction in between both layers creates an electric field that pushes the electrons to the upper layer, which is...
The peanut butter?
Yes! To the phosphorus layer that is connected to the metal conductor strips. In between the metal conductor strips and the phosphorus layer, we have the anti-reflecting coating. In other words, the side facing the peanut butter keeps the photons in both layers so won't go away. Finally, the electricity generated from the cells flows into an inverter, a device installed inside the home that transforms electricity for human use.
When did you learn this? I thought you only focused on floats.
Not so long ago, I received a short introductory course from my friend Chris Vilquez, an experienced American customer since 2015, and Antonio Alvarado, the CEO from Regio Solar, a brand new solar company based in Monterrey. Greetings to both of you.
Actually, my friend Andrea has been thinking for a while of buying solar panels for his home in the countryside, but he doesn't know if it is a good idea or not. Do you have any advice?
Sure, but I need you to answer some questions.
Okay.
Is the house free from trees or obstructions that might block the sunlight?
Well, the roof has a clear view and there are no buildings or trees close by, so the location is perfect for solar panels.
Take into account that the amount of energy generated is directly proportional to the sunlight intensity. The panels always work.
Even during cloudy, snowy, or rainy days?
Yes, they always work as long as they are not obstructed. If snow or leaves fall on the panels, you have to remove them manually because they might affect the performance of the panel.
Good to know! Now it's time to go listen to my voice 120. We will be back very soon in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction Science and More.
Hello, my name is Miguel Parada Castro. I'm from Chile and I work as an emergency psychologist for the National Emergency Medical Service, better known as SAMU Metropolitano. I provide psychological care and assistance to people involved in out-of-hospital critical accidents, such as traffic accident, heart attacks, and mass casualty for victims and rescuers. The psychological intervention in emergency medical team is important because there are situations that can affect the mental health of victims, responders, and family members. I can guide entire family or victims that face a critical condition or even potential death to handle and contain strong emotion caused by shocking scenes. People can be affected emotionally and psychologically as a result of an unexpected situation that could change their life forever. I believe my contribution valuable to the intervention teams because I can remove emotional distraction from them that could disrupt their technical works. Sometimes victims really lack control of themselves and can behave in strange emotional and stubborn way that can delay the assistance of the paramedics. This is where I come into action to protect the patient quality of life. Psychologists play an important role in rescue team operation, from convincing the victim that everything is going to be okay to prevent psychological trauma and deadly accidents. It is important to raise awareness about this topic, in particular to regions prone to natural disaster. My team from SAMU Metropolitano is always ready to help and prevent mental health issues. Living a good life is a synonym of being in a right state of mind. For more information, follow my Twitter account or contact me on Skype at @mparadacastro. And remember, active citizen, build resilient cities.
We are back in Communicating Disaster Risk Reduction, Science and More. This is the first time I hear about the need of a psychologist in rescue team operations. I cannot imagine how people can bounce back after losing their belongings from a disastrous event.
As far as I'm concerned, Miguel is the main focal point and pioneer on this topic in the entire Latin America. He shares interesting articles and studies of his work in social media platforms and is looking forward to teach, train, and share his knowledge to the new generation of young emergency psychologists in the continent. We wish him great success.
Back to the solar panels, how much does it cost?
It depends on the business model you choose. I'll give you two examples. In Mexico, the government has different types of rates depending on your energy consumption. These rates are set annually and cannot be changed until the end of the year, depending on the household energy consumption behavior. I won't mention all the rates, but the most important. The most expensive fare is DAC, or DAC. Then is fare type number 2, and the cheapest is fare type number 1. The government subsidizes fare type number 1 with about 70% of the real cost, with the condition that the annual household consumption is 10,200 kilowatts per hour or less. But if you cross the line, even by 1 kilowatt per hour, the household automatically gets a bill 2.5 times more expensive.
Really? That's a huge increase.
I know, right? So our friends from Regio Solar conduct an energy performance analysis of the building to drop your bill to fare number 1 with the lowest possible investment.
Nice, and how do you calculate the savings?
By comparing the electric bill with and without solar panels. In fact, the return on investment of the house with solar panels, considering the geographical and climate conditions of Monterrey, is about 2.5 years' time and a warranty lifespan of 25 years, potentially reaching the 40 years mark.
Wow, it seems a great deal.
There is more. If you have your own business and you want to buy solar panels, the government gives you a 100% tax return on the investment cost. Currently, Mexico is one of the countries with the highest growing potential and development in the solar market. The next example is SolarCity from the United States. They use grants for their business model, so you can ask for one of the following packages: loan, cash, lease, or PPA. The partial prepay agreement in which you pay only the energy produced with a locked rate for a certain amount of years. Electric companies' rates are about to skyrocket soon, so by using the PPA package, Chris saves about $30 a month with a 120 square meters house since 2015.
And my last question is, which country produces the best solar panels?
I'm not really sure, but Regio Solar uses technology from Canada, Germany, and China, while SolarCity is a subsidiary of Tesla and is headquartered in California.
In today's show, we talked about the main characteristics of solar panels, which can be used for residential, commercial, and industrial purposes. There is no doubt that this is just the beginning of the renewable energy era. Solar energy is clean, abundant, free, silent, and low in maintenance costs. Let's use it.
Next week, we will get a closer look on more renewable energies. Don't forget to visit our website, wireduck.unistrapg.it, and social media platforms in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as Wireduck or Francisco Febronio Peña. And remember, active citizens
build resilient cities.
Goodbye.
Communicating disaster risk reduction, science, and more with Francisco Febronio Peña. Active citizens build resilient cities.
Faccio radio perché mi piace pensare che nel mio piccolo possa aiutare le persone.
Faccio radio perché voglio che la mia voce venga ascoltata.
Faccio radio perché amo l'informazione.
Faccio radio perché mi tiene compagnia.
Faccio radio perché credo che la buona comunicazione esista ancora e debba partire da noi.
Faccio radio perché amo fare radio.
Festival delle radio universitarie italiane. Per chi ama fare radio. Cagliari 10, 11, 12 maggio 2018. Scopri il programma su fru18.it.